Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Well, we're moving back in, of course, to 2 Timothy this Sunday. And really, the passage that we're looking at today is a fitting passage for this being Palm Sunday, which, of course, you know, we're thinking about the faithful path that Jesus has taken. And the passage that we're looking at today, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 to 8, is really about Paul's loving and long journey and his sacrifice for Jesus. It really is also a path of obedience to the Father and for the gospel. And so you can see on the screen behind me, that is the verse, and I'd like everybody to read it out with me, would you? Let's start with the very beginning. That always makes sense. Here we go. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. May God bless his word, and may it resonate strongly with us today. You know, this is, of course, one of the more recognizable passages within the New Testament. I've fought the good fight, you know, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. It's the kind of thing that really I think a Christian would love to see written on their tombstone. And these are powerful words that Paul has written, and they are, of course, meant to be memorable, and that's part of the reason why we remember them today. This is for Paul kind of a sober point of reflection in his letter to his young ministry partner, and Timothy. And fair enough, Paul finds himself, of course, in a jail cell, and he's really likely all by himself, except for perhaps being attached to a Roman soldier who's keeping a close eye on him. Paul is feeling lonely at this stage. And you know, he really has had time to sit back and reflect, and he's absolutely certain of this point, that his death is imminent. And that's why his entire letter, as we read it, has this kind of urgency about it. You see, there will be no more letters after this. So Paul writes, ensuring that every word to Timothy is measured for a lasting and a long impact. Now, while this is a sober reflection for sure, it's not at all a negative one. You see, what we find here is that Paul is not afraid of death. He's not afraid of death. And in fact, he faces his death with great peace. And this is true. Obedience always leads to peace. Obedience always leads to peace. See, he's not only ready for death, he is joyfully anticipating meeting Jesus. It's that incredible assurance that powers him through these difficult days that he is facing. And you know, sometimes we can find ourselves in very difficult situations. And just knowing Jesus, just knowing where we're going to be, sometimes that is enough for us. Paul likes to use metaphors or pictures that tell the story. And his reflection through all of these verses is just full of those pictures. He begins the passage actually with an image that would be familiar to Timothy and to the other believers who would be reading his letter. And he says this, "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near." And other translations say this, "My life has been poured out like a drink offering." So Paul is using language here. It's kind of a sacrificial language that reflects what's happened in the Old Testament a number of times. And we just have to look to Genesis 35, verse 14 to see that. It says, "Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it. And he also poured oil on it." So you can see where Paul is coming from. And Paul may also have been considering a Roman custom that was very common in the day, and that was to dump a cup of wine out at the end of a meal as a sacrifice to the gods. Always a mess to clean up, but that's just the way it is. Whatever the case is, the picture that he is presenting is clear. Like an offering, Paul's life and death come as a sacrifice to the God who has saved him and redeemed him. He's been, and he continues to pour out his life for the sake of the gospel that has transformed his life. British theologian William Barclay puts it this way. He, meaning Paul, did not think of himself as going to be executed. He thought of himself as going to offer his life to God. Ever since his conversion, he had offered everything to God. His money, his scholarship, his time, the vigor of his body, the acuteness of his mind, the devotion of his heart. Only life itself was left to offer, and gladly he was going to lay it down. You know, you might at first glance think that Paul's words are a little boastful as he says these things, but they're not boastful at all. They're written to Timothy really as a final example and an encouragement. And really, when you think about it, what better timing is there than this? See, Paul is writing to Timothy at the successful completion of his race, while this young pastor is still in the middle of his own race. And, you know, he just needs all of the wisdom and advice that he can get. See, the days ahead for Timothy are going to be difficult days. And here is Paul. He's calling on him to press ahead, to continue to pour out his young life in support of the good news. And he encourages Timothy to look at his own example when he says, I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race. What an example Paul is. Well, you know, the race, the foot race, is a familiar athletic theme for Paul, and those of us who are athletes like myself recognized it immediately. I didn't think it was that funny. And so really what his example is here is for Timothy to full on fight any distractions that could potentially take him off course, just as he has done. Pay attention, he says to Timothy. Maintain a forward momentum in your race so you can get to the finish line just like I have. Like a competitive racer, the idea is not to think about the muscle pain that comes and the shortage of breath and all of that stuff, but rather to fight to keep your focus, right. And keeping your focus right means keeping your focus on the victory that lies ahead. You know, I used to be a broadcaster in my old days, and I really learned the importance of keeping focus while I was beginning to read news on the air live. And I had a news director, and he said, you know, some things are really important, and one of them is your breathing is important and your speed is important. And so I remembered those two things, and I went into the news booth for the very first time, and I had practiced my beginning. Oh, I had rehearsed this. Good morning, it's 15 degrees in Kamloops with sunny skies, and this is JC55 News. Brought to you by Dearborn Ford. Now, I had practiced that part, and then I went into the news. And so I'm starting to read my newscast, and I'm going from story to story, and then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, timing, breathing, timing, breathing, timing, breathing, timing, breathing, timing, breathing, and that's all I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about the words I'm reading at all. And by the time that I ended that first newscast, I was in full hyperventilation mode in the news, and because I just kept on breathing in more and more, and I couldn't let it all get out. And so my five-minute newscast was 2.5. My timing was shot, and I couldn't breathe anymore. And when I came out, my news director, who was a great guy, he said, listen, Doug, really what you need to do is just focus on the words in front of you from one word to the next and focus on the end, getting to the end of a good newscast. And that way, you'll keep your job. And so the rest was history. How important it is that we look to our focus. You know, Paul, he wrote to the Philippians using himself as an example about running the race well with that same necessary sense of forward momentum, not dwelling on the past, but considering the prize ahead. You'll recognize this, Philippians chapter 3. Paul says this, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. This is Paul's seasoned advice for Timothy, and it's advice for us to fight with everything we've got to finish well, to focus our eyes, to fix our eyes on the one thing that matters the most, and his name is Jesus. You know, this is in a large part what Luke was talking about a couple of weeks ago. It's when we fix our eyes and appetites on something other than Jesus, we begin to go off track, you see, and we begin to lose the momentum of our faith. And in his message, Luke was talking about idolatry, those times that we put our stuff ahead of Jesus. My pleasure, my desires, my thinking. And when we do that, as Paul suggests, we inevitably lose our stride. We begin to slow down and even move off the course that Jesus has called us to run. The key to fighting the good fight and finishing the race, as Paul said, is faithfulness. Faithfulness. That's what he says in verse 7. I have remained faithful. That's the key. At the end of the day, it is faithfulness that will hold Timothy and you and I to the course that we are running. You know, back in Paul's time, the Greek Games were really the Olympics of the day, and the very best of the best runners from around the known world would come and they would compete at those games. As Paul is speaking of being faithful here, he very well maybe have been thinking about a solemn oath that each of the athletes were required to take. And that solemn oath said that they had completed 10 months of rigorous training prior to the games. They had to take an oath that said that, and that they would be sticking by the rules of the race, and they would promise basically not to cheat. And the oath was meant to ensure that they were faithful to the athlete's code of conduct, because that was very important. See, there was some very serious work involved in being a competitive athlete. I know about this. Very serious work indeed, as there is serious work in being a Christian who desires to get to that finish line. In yet another connected race metaphor, this one was written to the Corinthians by Paul. He speaks of our need, really, to stay spiritually fit. And spiritually disciplined in our faith journey to ensure that we cross the finish line well. And this is what he says in 1 Corinthians. It's all kind of connected here. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. We'll talk more about that in a minute. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might be disqualified. These words and Paul's own example should convince us that being a Christian is not without some working out. There is some work for us to do. There is, in fact, a code of conduct that we must follow, and that code of conduct is clearly contained in Scripture, the Word of God. There is a requirement to stay true to the course of Jesus and to live by that code. And as Luke said last week, none of us are given permission to alter or rewrite it along the way to make it easier for us. There is for each of us the real responsibilities of our call to live lives that reflect Jesus and who he is, to love and to sacrifice and to put his ways ahead of our own ways. And we can't just pay lip service to those things. We actually have to do them. Otherwise, like Paul says, it's like shadow boxing. At the end of the day, that means the fight is meaningless. See, there is an expectation for every Christian to resist sin, to confess that sin, and to repent. It's good for us. And when we do, we undertake the work, of course, to stay free from it. And that kind of stuff takes perseverance. It takes fortitude. It's hard sometimes. But with God's grace and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can, like Paul, anticipate finishing well. So when Paul says, I have remained faithful, it means that he has lived a disciplined life. He has run every step with purpose. And he has not just tried to make his life look good on the outside. He's worked hard to oppose the flesh and walk in the Spirit. He's fought the good fight. He's finished the race because he has been faithful. And so now, Timothy says, and now, Christian readers, you do the same thing. Well, at the end of his race, Paul is so close, he can almost reach out and touch the prize that is ahead of him. When I read the scripture, it's just like he sees it. And he says this in verse 8, and now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. So you may know this, but he's likening this crown to the prize that comes at the end of the race. And again, he's thinking about the games, and particularly he's thinking about the laurel wreath that was ceremoniously placed on the head of the winner. And you know, that wreath was one of the most coveted prizes in all of ancient Rome because it brought its bearer adulation and glory and status and all of that. But the Roman crown and its adulation had a very limited shelf life. Its leaves would soon wither and die. The luster of its glory would be gone in just a little while. It would fade away. It really was a temporary win at best. Not so, however, with the crown that Paul had in mind. You see, the crown of righteousness has no limited shelf life. It is eternal in nature. This is the crown given to every recipient who, having completed the race here on earth and having found worthy by God at the time of judgment, crosses the final finish line and into heaven itself. It's a forever crown, and it will never fade away. Never fade away. There's a subtle but profound contrast here. See, within 2 years of writing this letter, Paul would be arrested, he would be judged, and he would be executed for his faith. But since being changed by Jesus, see, he is no longer concerned about the judgment of man. Because like the laurel wreath, it's only going to be a temporary thing for him. Paul is only concerned with the judgment that comes from God himself. And he is absolutely ready for that day because he knows that he has been made ready and righteous through his relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. And you know, it would be easy for us, you and I, to look at the great apostle Paul and say, well, his pathway to heaven was assured because of all that he did. I mean, he wrote a half of the New Testament. He was a qualified scholar. He suffered. He was beaten, shipwrecked, and he was held in countless jails. And through it all, he still remained faithful. What an amazing guy. But if we're not careful, that kind of comparison can actually make us feel unworthy or unlikely recipients of this crown of righteousness. But listen, we only have to look to the final words of Paul in our passage today to be encouraged. He says, and the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. And you know, the truth is this, Paul's not so much concerned about winning and being number one as he is concerned about just finishing the race and doing well getting there. The prize that he's talking about isn't a singular prize. It doesn't have his name engraved on a plaque or anything like that. That prize is available to all who accept Jesus for who he says he is. It is for those who fight the good fight as best they can, who keep the faith as best they can, and finish their race. Perhaps you are here this morning and you don't yet follow Jesus. Maybe you're just thinking about him a lot and wondering about your future. And maybe through this passage, you're thinking a little bit right now about that finish line. And the fact of the matter is, like Paul, like Timothy, like me, we all have a shelf life here on this earth. And at some point, we will face the fair and just judgment of God. Getting to the finish line and to the prize that Paul talks about, that begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is available to all who will confess their sin, their brokenness, and seek forgiveness and determine to live for him, to walk that race with him. See, it's only through a personal relationship with Jesus as our Savior and Lord that the prize of an eternity in heaven is available. Perhaps you are here today and you recognize that he's got a greater purpose for you. That perhaps today you look to your life and feel that it's somewhat empty. Maybe today is the day that you make the decision to allow Jesus in to transform your life, to change your life, as he did with Paul, with Timothy, and countless others after him who accepted the gospel. The good news is that you can pray a prayer right now to make Jesus the Lord of your life, and everything can change. Everything can get on track, and you can know this incredible peace as you determine to run this race. If you're in this room and that is you today, I'm going to encourage you to just say this prayer after me, quietly and to yourself. Does that work, you ask? Is that all there is to me just accepting Jesus? Well, at the beginning, of course, that's it. It's just a heartfelt confession of faith, believing in Jesus. And then the journey begins. But it is a journey in which you are never alone. You're always with friends, and you are guided by the Holy Spirit. And there is such joy and peace in this journey. This is what kept Paul going. This is what made him excited for life. This is what kept Timothy going and made him excited for life. And it is what will keep you going and make you excited for life today and at the end of your shelf life. You can just pray with me quietly. Dear Jesus, I confess I have been running my race without you. I need you in my life. Forgive my messes, Jesus. Forgive my sins. Come into my life as Savior and Lord. Help me, Holy Spirit, to live a life after Jesus. And that's it. If you've prayed that prayer, if you have not known Jesus, you do now know Jesus. He is in you. This Holy Spirit is in you. And you are starting an amazing race. Amazing race. Maybe today you are a believer. Maybe you've known Jesus for a long time. Maybe you made that decision a long time ago, or maybe just a while ago. But you also know that you've run off course. And you know that you need to do all that you can to get back where you were meant to be, and that is running towards Jesus and not away from him. You know the focus and the finish is way too important to miss. Maybe you've given up fighting the good fight. Maybe somewhere along the line you've been distracted from the focus of your first love, and even there are times that you wonder if you will make it to the finish line. If that's you, may I encourage you, it's time to get back on track. And God's grace is sufficient for you. He is like the great Father who's got his arms open. He says, come on back. Come on back. I know that embrace because that was my story. I came back after 15 years of being away from him. And you can do the same thing too. Through the incredible patience and grace of Jesus, we have the opportunity to deal with those things that are in our lives that are blocking the way, those hurdles that are in front of us and throwing us off course. We can confess those things right now and start heading in the direction this minute, the right direction this minute. So if you are in that place, I want to encourage you to pray with me right now. Father, I know I am off course. I've slowed down and even stopped running for you altogether. I confess the roadblocks in my life. The fact I have moved you from first place in my heart. Forgive me, Father. Holy Spirit, help me to get back on track. to run the road ahead of me in a way that honors you and gets me past the finish line. Amen. Amen. Today is a new day. It's a fresh day. Today is the day that you walk with Jesus. Whether you've accepted him for the very first time, whether you're coming back to him, whether you've just been with him all along the way, every day is a new and a fresh day in Christ. We can trust him in all things. We can remain faithful to him. We can finish the race well. If you've accepted Christ today, you're coming back and you just need some help, somebody to pray along with you, I really encourage you, before you go today, talk with somebody. Talk with somebody in our team. We'd love to talk with you and give you some stuff that would maybe help you move forward in your faith. We would love for that to happen, but please make sure that you tell someone. May each of us be able to say with Paul at the end of our lives, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have been faithful. Would you stand, everybody? I would like to pray over us before we leave this morning. Father, we're thankful for your great love for us, your great grace. Jesus, you speak life to us every day. You call us on to the race that is in front of us. And Lord, our desire is to finish well, to finish with faith. Would you guide us, Holy Spirit? Fill us again. Refresh us, O God, for the race that is ahead. We love you, Jesus. We love the fact that you are with us every step of the way and that eternity that awaits is amazing. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.